having the real experiences beyond being called a Christian, you must understand how to function there. Christ is a place. So God wants a church that is in charge of the earth before he returns. In the last days, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. He says, your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. The day you got born again, you changed nationality. Yet you were sent as an officer. You were sent as an occupational troop to bring the government of that heavenly kingdom to build on the earth.
How precious he is. How wonderful he is. Amen. I love Jesus. What about you? Say, I love Jesus. Come on, say like you believe it. I love Jesus. He first loved me. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen and amen and amen and amen. All right, where do we start from? Hebrews 5, 12 to 14. Those of you following online, God bless you. Can we welcome our online community on MixLR, on Facebook? Thank you. All right. I want to talk a little on righteousness. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. You know, in the series we've been taking on Sunday, we've been going into the doctrine of righteousness here and there. If you have followed the teaching, the shout of a king, you must have heard us or heard me share about righteousness. Amen. The volume is sounding funny. Maybe just hallelujah. Praise God. Amen and amen. Okay, I think it's better. Okay, so are you with your Bibles? Are you with your Bibles? Let me see them. Say, this is my Bible. I love my Bible. Amen. Like Mike Murdock would say, kiss your Bible. And by the way, at the end of this service, we're going to pray for Murdock. Dr. Murdock is in the hospital. And we're going to pray for Southern Kaduna. Amen. We're going to raise a prayer altar for Southern Kaduna. We'll let you know. Okay, we'll let you know. But it's this Friday prayer meeting. How far? We're supposed to have total immersion this Friday. I've not seen the graphics. Amen. How many of you are ready for total immersion this Friday? Somebody's wondering, oh, I have planned to watch one series. It's public holiday. Can't somebody rest? You cannot rest though. It's your future and destiny we are talking about. Yes, on Friday, we'll be here at 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. No, 10 hours. Is how did we plan it? 8 a.m. to 6 p.m. Thank you. 8 a.m. to 6 p.m. Amen. Just praying and hearing God's word. How many of you are around for the last total immersion? I was told of somebody who could not eat for 3 days after total immersion. 3 days. She was crying and praying in tongues. She couldn't eat. Until the third day. You think her life would be the same? You know, such people, even when they try to backslide, the compelling power of the encounter will pull them back. Amen. Some of you understand what I'm trying to talk about. Some of us, we try to backslide. It did not work. It didn't work. Amen. It didn't work. Okay, let me backslide. It didn't work. Why? The force of the call. You see, I tell you, an encounter is something that leaves an impression on your spirit. It leaves an imprint of divinity on your spirit. You don't fake it. You don't fake it. Once it hits you, it sets your course forever. It has nothing to do with what will happen on your left, on your right, before you, behind you. Your course is set. Hallelujah. So we'll have total immersion on Friday. It is stamped. Is somebody happy? Amen. I don't care. If 50 people show up, I'm fine. Amen. We will pray. We will pray. We will hear the word. We will pray. And time will show that we have been praying. Glory to God. So on that Friday, we'll take out time to pray for Southern Kaduna. Okay? And before then, take out time to pray. Okay? And to pray for the country. Somebody say, we have been praying. Why are things like this? Newsflash, things would have been worse if we were not praying. Somebody say, ah, really? Yes, so. Don't forget that there was a time over 5 million people were murdered. Are you aware of one race? Is it 3 million now? It's up to 5 million. The Holocaust. Amen. How many million? Eh? 3 million Jews. Are you sure? It's not 3 million. No, I don't agree. The Holocaust. How many million Jews? Where are the historian? 6 million. I think I go more with 6. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You know what 6 million means? That's the population of a sizable state in Nigeria. In fact, some two states, some states are 1.5, 3 million. That's more than them in 4 years. Amen. So evil has really happened in this world. And sometimes when people raise alarm, people just say, what are you talking about? It's not possible. Be careful what you just throw aside and say it's not possible. Amen. Check your history very well. Evil has happened in this world. You know what it means for 6 million of a particular race to be murdered? And there are very few. There were very few at that time. Whether 3 or 6 million, I'll check it up. I don't know how I forgot. Somebody has Googled it. Amen. That is some evil, isn't it? So you don't just say, no. We will pray. We are praying and we will yet pray. And don't forget that things could have been worse if not for the prayers of the saints. Hallelujah. Praise God. All right. Righteousness. 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 I can call it the doctrine of righteousness. I have taught many series, or a few series rather, on the doctrine of righteousness. You can get them. I'm sure most of you here and online should have listened to the concept of sin and righteousness. How many of you have listened to that message? Amen. It was a classic. I'm sure it brought light to you. It brought understanding to you. And that is very important. All right, put up Hebrews chapter number 5. Hebrews 5. Very quickly. 12 to 14. 12 to 14. It says, for when for the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that won't teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not strong meat. That means it's challenging people to grow. Amen. Glory to God. Next verse. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. So he's saying, by now you ought to be teachers. But you see, we can't commit the ministry of teaching into your hands. We cannot commit serious things into your hands. Why? You are using milk. And how do we know that you are using milk? You're unskillful in the word of righteousness. Is somebody with me? I know I made very interesting statements while we were doing the Sunday series about righteousness. And part of what I said was that the level of your dominion on the earth as a believer is a reflection of the level of your skill in the doctrine of righteousness. Very important. He chose the word skill. Of course, he used the negative version, unskillful, in the word of righteousness. But the key word there is skill. So he uses the word skill, or being skillful, in the word of righteousness. He didn't use the word knowledge in the word of righteousness. He didn't say, for he that uses milk is ignorant of the word of righteousness. No. He says he's unskillful in the word of righteousness. And I told you what skill, what it means to be skillful. I said it means to use the knowledge you have precisely, intentionally, to affect outcome. Amen. So we say the person is skillful if they can apply knowledge intentionally to affect outcome. To affect outcome. The knowledge you already have. So he chose the word being skillful in the word of righteousness. I remember what I was saying now. I say for us, the understanding of righteousness is not something you just know in your head without a definite impact in your daily life. Are we together? So the idea of being skillful suggests that your understanding of the doctrine of righteousness should have a visible impact on your daily living. Did you get that? That is why he used the word skill. That is why he chose the word unskillful in the word of righteousness, not ignorant in the word of righteousness. Are you getting me? That means if you look at a man's life, a man's daily life, and there is no victory, there is no dominion. We're not saying there will not be challenges. We look at his response to the curved balls of life. We can know whether he is skillful in the word of righteousness or not. When you drop a believer in the midst of crisis, or he is passing through a difficult season, or he is faced with a mountain, or we look at their daily living, and we see their response to life. We see their results in life. We see their products or what they produce in their daily living. We can know whether the person is skillful in the word of righteousness or unskillful in the word of righteousness. We can know whether the person understands the doctrine of righteousness or not. Are you getting the foundation now? So it's not, okay, righteousness, okay, I'm righteous now, or I don't know if I'm righteous or not, and it's just something remote. It's a critical stuff as far as living in the kingdom is concerned, according to the Bible. In Romans chapter 5 verse 17, it says, for if by one man's offense death reigned, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall do what? Shall reign in life. Shall have the dominion in life. There it is again. He said, those who receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness. That shows us that righteousness is a gift. Are we together? In fact, for anyone who wants to establish the righteousness of the law in this dispensation, when you see that, you should drop your opinion like hot potatoes. He said, that which you receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness. When you see that, you should ask questions. Oh, so righteousness is a gift. If it's a gift, do you work for it? No. If it's a gift, you receive it. If it's a gift, that means there's a giver. There's a gift and there's a receiver. Can I get an amen? So I don't want you to just assume that, okay, I already know I'm the righteousness of God. No. Every time we journey into talking about righteousness, we are giving you opportunity to receive enlightenment for reigning. Glory to God. It's an opportunity to receive enlightenment for reigning. You're updating your OS. And I'm going to get there. Listen. The new birth gives the believer a new operating system. I say that again. The new birth gives the believer a new operating system, a new OS. That means it's on the backdrop of this operating system called righteousness that all the other apps, faith operates. Oh, come on now. Love operates. Is somebody listening to me in this place? Patience operates. Hope operates on that software, on that operating system, rather. Did you get that? That means without righteousness, there cannot be faith. Without righteousness, you can't walk in love. Is somebody here? Without righteousness, you cannot have Bible patience. So it's a new operating system. It's impossible to install faith without the backdrop of the operating system of righteousness. It's impossible to install the love of God. Meaning a man cannot love like God loves if he doesn't have the righteousness of God.
How are you going to do it? It's not possible. A man cannot believe in hope against hope without the righteousness of God. It's not possible. In Galatians chapter 3 verse 21, it says, if there had been a law, put it up. Galatians 3 21. Is somebody blessed already? Thank you, Lord. Put up 21. He said, do we get into this thing now? Let's start from verse 1. Can we do Bible study? Let's start from verse 1. We're talking about righteousness. And we are laying the foundation. See, I have a new operating system. It's called righteousness. Let me show you something quickly, 21, 22. Then we'll go back to verse 1. Go back to 21. At least let me prove what I just said. Look at this. Is the law then against the promise of God? For God forbid. For if there had been a law given which could have given life, verily righteousness should have been by the law. If there had been a law that would have given life, then righteousness would have been by the law. That means what God was after, oh Rabakapaya, was to give a life that can produce righteousness. Did you get that? So the law could not accomplish it. If there had been a law that would have given life, then righteousness would have been by the law. That means without Zoe, righteousness was impossible. Are you here? So there's an operating system. A Christian is not the same with every human being in the world. There's a change. Christianity is not behavioral modification. Christianity is not patching. Amen. Christianity is total life transformation. Christianity is regeneration of the spirit. Regeneration. Regeneration. We were regenerated. It says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. He is a new creation. He's a kainos creation. He is a new creation. Qualitatively new. He says, all things are passed away. The all things are passed away is not organically talking about, okay, the lie I used to lie, I lie no more. That is secondary. Amen. Amen. My hair was full before. Now I barb it. That's secondary. Glory to God. And I wonder why you barb your hair after getting bald again. The things I used to do, I do them no more. Organically, that's not what he's talking about. Now, there is a place for that in conversion. And I'm going to explain that to you. But you see, what he's saying, all things are passed away. He's talking about the nature of the human spirit. He's talking about the core of man. The old OS. Oh, the old operating system. Do you understand? It has passed. No. So we said Christianity is not behavioral modification. It is regeneration of the human spirit. That means the old OS was passed out. A new operating system has to come in. That is very important. Very, very important. Hallelujah. Because it affects how you perceive how a Christian should be raised. The Bible talks about the renewing of the mind. It is not suggesting behavioral modification. No. That's not what it's talking about. It's talking about an inside-out transformation that has a basis. And the basis is the new birth. You know, Nicodemus came to Jesus. He says, thou art a teacher sent from God. For no man can do these things except God be with him. Jesus took his attention from doing to being. He said, this is not just about doing something on the outside. Except a man P. Because with who you are, you can do. Are you here? So the focus of Jesus was not telling him to go and do things. He said, except a man be born again, he cannot see, he cannot perceive the kingdom of God. Except a man be born again. The kingdom will say, I'm old. Do I need to enter again into my mother's womb to be born? Jesus looked at him. He said, I'm telling you about earthly things you don't understand. When we raise it up, what are you going to do? When we raise our conversation, what are you going to do? Glory to God. I remember back in school, one of my friends said something that blessed me. You know, 2 Timothy chapter 1 from 9 talks about through the appearing of our Lord Jesus. He said, who has abolished death and has brought life, Zoe, and immortality to light to the cross. Talking about Zoe, and they have not understood. How can we bring immortality? Hallelujah. Christianity is being. Then the being controls the doing. That means if you attempt to change your doing without paying attention to the being, it will not work. Are you getting it now? A dog is a dog. A dog will keep barking. It may not bark for a long time, but one day, bingo, go bark. Bingo, will bite. Are you? So Christianity is an inward life that you walk to the outside. It's inside, but you walk it on the outside. Christianity is not an outward life that you try to walk inside. It's an inward life you walk out. When the Bible talks about walk out salvation with fear and trembling, that's what it's talking about. Walk out your salvation with godly reverence. Where is the location of salvation? In your spirit. You walk it out from there. Hallelujah. Let's go back to the man in the garden that fell. You know, God told him that, I keep you in this garden, tend it, keep it from every intruder. All right? Of every fruit in the garden, you may eat. But of this one, don't partake of it. For the day that you eat of this shoot, you shall surely die. And then one thing led to another. Man ate the fruit. What happened? He died. When did he die? That day. But see, when you look at man on the outside, he was like nothing changed. Apart from them figuring out that they were naked. Amen. Nothing really changed. It was a perception that changed. Because God asked, he said, who told you that you were naked? Aya. He said, where did you get the information from? Who gave you that vision? They've seen that before. Suddenly, they were waking to another realm. It's called the realm of death, the realm of the flesh. Suddenly, they became slaves of time. But see, on that day, when you looked at Adam and Eve, it was as though nothing changed. But the Bible says, on the day that you will eat it, you will surely die. And on that day, they died. Here is my point. Where did the death happen? In their spirit. In their spirit. At that moment, the OS changed. The moment they committed treason, the moment they disobeyed God, the operating system changed. Why? How do we know? The Bible says you shall surely die. They will surely die, and they died that day. But you see, looking on the outside, they may look, this is the same man, this is the same woman. But on the inside, death began to work. Listen to this. It took spiritual death 930 years or so to conquer their body. But you see, why did they have to die physically? Because something had begun to happen on the inside. Are you listening to me? And it took time for that thing that was happening on the inside to dominate even their bodies. It began to dominate their minds first. They began to think differently. From being in a garden of abundance, they were thrown out. They began to fend for themselves. They began to think of how to make ends meet. Amen. That was where the whole ends meeting came from. Glory to God. They began to program and plan how to take care of themselves, which wasn't God's original plan. But here's the point. What happened in their spirit conquered their minds and conquered their body in the process of time. If you notice in that Genesis, people lived for 900 years. He began to reduce to 70 years, to 600 years, then 120 years. Then in the days of David, he became like 70. Amen. You know, David wrote 70 because that was his revelation and that was his experience. Are you aware? Moses wrote 120. How old did he live? 120. That was his revelation and that was his experience. You, what are you going to write? Amen. And glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise God. But here's the point. It took spiritual death time to conquer the body. And it had to walk through the mind. It's not the same man. Why did the age, what do you call the age of age life expectancy. Why was he reducing? The knowledge of death, the knowledge of sin kept increasing. Are you listening? The knowledge of death, listen, the knowledge of death, the knowledge of sin kept increasing. Men began to observe, knowingly or unknowingly, the impact of the law of sin and death. In the same vein, when a man gets born again, something happens in his spirit. If we give that thing time, then revelation of what it is, it can grow to conquer the mind and the body. Did you get that? It will grow. It will expand in influence from your spirit to conquer your mind, from your spirit to conquer your body. He says, the day that you eat, you will die. That day he died. On the outer, he looked and nothing happened. The day you receive Jesus, you receive eternal life. And then you receive eternal life, looking at Jesus as though nothing has changed. Something changed. Are you getting it now? If we could look at Adam on the outside as well, he's the same man now. But when we gave it time, we saw the manifestation. The same way, when you give the new creation time, knowledge, and revelation, the difference will be clear. That life will be worked out from the inside to the outside. Is somebody listening to me? Never trivialize what you have on the inside. Never. Never make light of what you have on the inside. The operating system has changed. Hallelujah. Glory to God forevermore. All right. Galatians chapter 3 now. We'll start from verse 1. Oh, glory to God. He's somebody blessed. Glory, 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 glory. Okay, maybe let me define what righteousness is. This is a little modification from what most of you already know. What is righteousness? Righteousness is the nature of God. Righteousness is the correctness of God imparted to our spirits and credited to our accounts at the new birth. Did you get that? The nature and the correctness of God imparted to our spirit, credited to our account at the new birth, that gives us the ability to stand before God without fear, inferiority, and condemnation. Hallelujah. And also the ability to stand before Satan and his works without fear, without inferiority, and without condemnation. Powerful. Powerful. I don't want to dwell on the definition, but when you go home, you can look at it. The nature and the correctness of God imparted to our spirit at the new birth. So see, at the new birth, a new operating system was installed. Hallelujah. Praise God forevermore. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord. All right, Galatians 3. Let's see what we can do in the light of understanding the righteousness of faith. Okay, the righteousness of faith. You know, Paul talks about two kinds of righteousness. And Kenyon wrote a book, Two Kinds of Righteousness. If you have not read it before, go and get it and read it. Two kinds. I will never forget how excited I was. I mean, that was the final blow that killed religion in my life as a young man. I mean, it just destroyed it and left no remnant. Glory to God. Amen. At least I believe so. He said, oh, foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ had been evidently set forth, crucified among you? Were the Galatians there when Jesus was crucified? Aye. Next verse. Don't worry, I'll come back to that. This only will I learn of you. Receive ye the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? So you notice there's the works of the law, there's the hearing of faith. The hearing of faith will eventually produce the works of faith. So we have the works of the law and the works of faith. When James was talking about, show me your faith by your works, he wasn't talking about the works of the law. He was talking about the works of faith. Glory to God. What are the works of faith? The works of faith are the corresponding action you engage in because of the conviction that the revelation of God's word has given to your spirit. Those are the works of faith. So we have the works of faith. They are different from the works of the law. The works of the law means the things you do with a mindset or with an orientation to gain God's approval. Those are the works of the law. But the things you do as a thanksgiving response, the things you do as a love response to what God has already done that you come into the knowledge of, is called the works of faith. Have it together. So he said, people don't receive the Spirit by the works of the law, but by the hearing of faith. Glory to God. And then the next verse talks about those who work miracles. Next verse. He said, are you so foolish? Have you begun in the Spirit? And now you want to be made perfect in the flesh. Next. He said, have you suffered so many things in vain, if it be yet in vain? Next verse. Verse 5. He therefore that ministers to you the Spirit and works miracles among you, doeth he by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Of course, you know the answer. Those who were ministering the Spirit, those who were working miracles, he said they were not doing it by the works of the law. They were doing it by the hearing of faith. That means the results were produced because Christ was preached. Oh, I love Acts chapter 8. The Bible says Philip went to Samaria and there he preached Christ to them. He didn't preach any other thing. He didn't preach Moses to them. He preached Christ to them. And the Bible said there was joy in that city. That means the preaching of Christ releases the miraculous, releases the supernatural, and produces joy in the heart of the people. Pause. Now we know the church that preaches law and the church that preaches Christ. We know the church that preaches Moses and the church that preaches Christ. How do we know? After service, is there joy in the congregation? You went to church, you left depressed. You went to church, you left feeling, this thing, we are not able. This thing, I feel so hard. This Christianity is hard. In fact, I even told you Christianity is hard. He said, brethren, we need to be careful. You know, this Christianity is hard. But the Bible says, narrow is the way to heaven. Read the Bible very well. He didn't say that. He said, narrow is the path that leads to life. He's talking about the constraint of an effective life on the earth. Are you listening? Glory to God. They say only very few people are going to heaven. Where did they see that from? Read Revelation. Countless so from every tribe and tongue. Glory to God forevermore. Are you guys sleeping on me this tonight? He says there was joy in that city. Why? Christ was preached to them. When the law is preached, you can't have joy in the city. When Christ is preached, you have joy in the city. So you go to church and you don't return with joy. We know what you heard, Moses. When you go to church and you return with joy, oh, glory to God, we know what you heard, Christ. Christ. I said, brethren, you know, you don't know. This thing, you don't know who will make heaven. You have to be careful. You can backslide at any time if you are not careful. You have to be careful. Satan is after your life. If you are not careful, you will backslide. You will fall from grace. The Bible says, we are not of them that draw back to perdition. He said, but we're of them that believe to the saving of the soul. You see, when you read the Bible, you have to locate yourself. Where is your location in Scripture? Where is your location? Where are you found in Scripture? The Bible says, when Moses is read, veil covers the eyes, the face of the people. He said, but in Christ, the veil is removed. The veil is removed. We are not of them that draw back to perdition. Oh, what did Jude say? Don't you trust God? He said, unto him that is able to keep you from falling and present you, hey, blameless before the throne of God and present you. He is able. He didn't talk about your own ability. He talks about the ability of the one who has called you. Glory to God. He said, unto him who is able to keep you from falling and then not that you present yourself, he will present you. How? Blameless. Oh, glory to God. The Bible says he's able to save to the uttermost. He's able. I can never backslide. It's only record. I cannot. If my eyes are on myself, I can. My boast is not in this flesh, because I have no confidence in this flesh. There's no confidence, sir. My boast is in the one that said he's able to keep me from falling and to present me unto himself blameless, unreprovable in his sight. Glory to God. If your boast is by your energy, and those are the men of the law, those are the men of the flesh, I said, now we cannot. God has trained us. We cannot. We are strong men. We cannot. No, we said, we don't say such thing. The Bible says we are the circumcision. He said we rejoice in Christ Jesus. We rejoice in the anointed and his anointing, and we have no confidence in the flesh. We have the circumcision that worship God in spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. Listen, any message that puts your eyes on your flesh will destroy you eventually. The doctrine of righteousness, are you here? He's able to keep you from falling. He's able to keep you from falling. When Christ is preached, there's joy. Even when you are reproved, we call it a reproof of love. Oh God. Listen, correction is part of New Testament doctrine. But you see, when the Spirit of God corrects you, or when a man corrects you by the Spirit of God, the impact is different from when a man is correcting you by the Spirit of the law. The correction of the man speaking by the law brings condemnation to your mind. It takes your focus of Christ and put it on your human ability. I will try again. That's where you see people punishing their body for the sins they committed, and making vows for God, making vows with God, covenant. And say, I have entered the cup. In the name of Jesus, if you are here, listen to me. Never do that foolishness. I have entered the covenant with God. The next time I lie, may my mouth be dumb. I've entered the covenant with God. The next time I watch this kind of film, may I be blind. The next time I do this, may I not have children. You know? You like this. You have confidence in your flesh. You have confidence. Bible says, but pastor, you know, listen, you have no point to prove to God. You are trying to establish your own righteousness. Romans chapter 10. Quickly. Romans 10. Nonsense. No confidence in the flesh. Totally no confidence in the flesh. Somebody say he has a covenant with God. The amen next to the door says, may God strike his legs or something. And you feel God is impressed. You really feel God is impressed. He's not impressed. The Bible says one will sum up all your righteousness together. It is equal to filthy rags. You know, rags is enough. Then filthy rags, double negative. Maybe you didn't notice. We call it double negative. Filthy rags. Your eyes must be upon Christ and him crucified. Your eyes must be upon the power of the resurrection. The Bible says he was offered for offenses. He was raised for our justification. He was offered for offenses. He was offered up because of our sins and shortcomings. When he was raised, he gave us a new life. He gave us a new operating system. It's called the righteousness of faith. Aye, glory to God. Look at this. He said, brethren, my heart desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. He was talking about his brethren according to the flesh. Next verse. For I bear them record that they have zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. Oh, glory to God. That means, listen, your zeal must be according to knowledge. Your zeal must be measured by knowledge. Your zeal must be gauged by knowledge. He said, I bear them witness, they have zeal. The same will have many religious, zealous, religious Christians, but not according to knowledge. Don't forget that Paul was there. And in Romans chapter 7, Paul shows us his struggles, even when he was forming, that he was a true Pharisee. See, the things I want to do, I couldn't do them. You see, I found a law in my members, warring against the law of Christ. We're going to explore Romans 7 one of these days. Romans 7 is not the picture of the Christian. It's a picture of the Jewish man under the law. Are you listening? You know, imagine reading Romans 7 without being told. You'd be confused. Say, no wonder. No wonder I feel like sinning all the time. This is the reason many Christians are in sin. Romans, you say, go and read Romans 7. The things I want to do, I find another law in my member. Oh God, oh wretched man that I am. Who shall deliver me from this body of sin? But read the next one. Say, thanks be unto God. Thanks be unto God. You know, people don't finish reading the Bible. They just pick something out of the same thing. Say, thanks be unto God. And the next one, say, there's therefore now no condemnation for the man who is in Christ Jesus. He gave the answer. So the description in Romans 7 is not talking to a Christian. He was painting the picture of a Jewish man under the law. He was a struggling man. So he knew what he was talking about here. Are you with me? He said, I bear them record that they have zeal, but not according to knowledge. Next verse. For they being ignorant of God's righteousness, are going about to establish their own righteousness. That means there is God's righteousness and there is your own righteousness. Look at this. For they being ignorant of God's righteousness, are going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. That means this righteousness of God, you submit yourself to it. You submit yourself to it. Lord, I am your righteousness. You say so. You have given and I submit. You know submission? Meaning you don't have another opinion. You don't have your own opinion. He says they have not submitted themselves to the righteousness of God. Next verse. Oh, hallelujah. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believes. He's talking about the end of the righteousness of the law. He said Christ is the end. Next verse. Oh, glory to God. He said for Moses describes the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which, underlying, doeth. Which doeth, this thing shall live by them. Next verse. So he's giving you the modus operandi of the righteousness of the law. And then he introduces to you the modus operandi of the righteousness of faith. Next verse. He said, but the righteousness, which is of faith, speaketh. Hey, the righteousness of the law is doing the righteousness of faith. Say that if thou shalt believe in your heart the Lord Jesus and confess, he said, if thou shalt believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead and confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, you shall be saved. He said, this righteousness, you believe in your heart and speak with your mouth. The righteousness which is of faith speaketh. You know, in the law, you have to do to be justified. In this one, you have to speak to be justified. We'll see it too, as we read further. You have to say to be justified. You know, when I teach you about breaking bad habit as a Christian, what do I tell you? Revelation of identity, your mouth, you will cut it off. You will cut it off. You know, the Hebrew word for mouth is stoma. It means the cutting edge of a weapon. Not that, the Greek word rather. It means the cutting edge of a weapon. What did he say about the word? He said, the logos of God is a living thing. The logos of God is quick and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the dividing asunder. That means you can cut things from your body. You can cut things from your mind. You use the word to cut it. Let's continue. But the righteousness, which is of faith, speaketh on this wise. Say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven? That is to bring down from, to bring Christ down from heaven. Oh Lord, come down and manifest your power. That is not the righteousness of faith. He said the righteousness of faith doesn't speak like this. Oh Lord, come down and manifest your power. Where is it coming down from? The Bible says on the day of Pentecost, they were in the upper room. The Holy Ghost came as of a rushing mighty wind and filled the room where they were and rested upon their head, and he has not returned. Can I get an amen? He hasn't returned. He hasn't returned. He hasn't returned. You know, religion lives now. He believes in the past. Believes in the... Have you noticed? One of the manifestations of the spirit of religion, there's no provision for now. There's a confession of helplessness for now. He talks about the past. Oh, how gracious you are in the past. And then talks about what's happening in the future, but nothing now. Oh God, I help in ages past, our hope for years to come. What about now? I know I'm messing somebody's theology up. What about now? What about now? What about now? But this righteousness is of faith. And the Bible says, now faith is. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So he said, this righteousness doesn't say, who shall go down to bring down Jesus from above? Next verse. Oh, hallelujah. Mezobalagedibaya. Or who shall descend into the deep, that is to bring up Christ again from the dead? Next verse. But what saith it? The word. Masemalaya. That means the tool for this righteousness is the word. Oh, it's the word. He's telling you what the righteousness of faith is. He said, but the word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. Hey, glory! Woo! Glory to God. He's telling you the confessions and the modus operandi of the righteousness of faith. What does he say? The word is near you. The word is near you. It's not far. The word is near you. It's in your mouth. It's in your heart. What word? The word of faith which you preach. Next verse. Mm-hmm. Verse 9. What is that word? That if you shall confess with your mouth. It's simple. There's no doing inside this thing. Hey. No, are you seeing it? You know, he's still telling us what the righteousness of faith is. He says, if you shall confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, meaning the Lordship of Jesus, and shall believe in your heart that God had raised him from the dead, watch this, thou shalt be saved. This is the righteousness of faith. Believing in your heart, confessing with your mouth. Next verse. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness. Aye. And with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Two things. Believing and saying it. If you don't have anything to say, you give thanks. It has finished. Every other thing is attempting to establish your own righteousness. Let me tell you something. Every time you are listening to a preacher, and over time your focus is yourself, you are feeling inadequate, change your diet. At least for a while. Let me tell you. That means that preacher is not sent to you for doctrine. He's sent to you as a prophetic push. Oh, God. Aye. That means you don't dishonor them. You don't disrespect. But you know that this person is sent to me to give me prophetic push. Are you listening? But as far as doctrine is concerned, he is not sent to me. Listen, you grow on doctrine. Am I talking to someone? I'll show you. You grow on doctrine. Somebody can be well-meaning, anointed, have large followership. When you listen to him again and again, it makes you feel you are inadequate. He's not sent to you for doctrine. When you listen to a man who is sent to you as far as doctrine is concerned, every time you hear him, there is joy in your heart. Are you listening? You are set. You may be challenged in the midst of the challenge, there is a consciousness of the, oh, the Bible says, not that we are sufficient as of ourselves to think of anything from us. He said, but our sufficiency is of Christ. There's a consciousness of your sufficiency as being Christ, not you. And when doctrine is gotten correctly, sir, that becomes your focus. That becomes your consciousness. There's this awareness that Christ is your sufficiency. You know that you know that you know that Christ is your hikanotis. He is your sufficiency. Your eyes on Christ and Him crucified. Are you listening? They can pray for you to explode. They can pray for you to have money. But as far as doctrine is concerned, you cannot pay attention. I just answered somebody's question. Glory to God. And you see, the strength of pastoral ministry is doctrine. Can I go deeper? It's not your prophet or TV. This one is deeper in the things that matter. Amen. You see, a local church that is not organized around the doctrines of Christ cannot produce people. If I cannot offer the right diet for growth, for proper growth, that's number one. And they cannot produce ministers of the gospel. I've told you before, the local church is set up for the manufacturing of ministers. The local church is a refinery. The local church is not Babalawo place where you go to consult and have your needs met and go. No. It is a place where by the supply of the Spirit, by the orchestrations of the Spirit, and the anointing upon that place, you grow in balance. Are you listening? And doctrine is important. Very important. Very important. There are two sides to look at the world. Doctrine or prophetic. Amen. Very important. They are not the same thing. Okay? They are not the same thing. There's doctrine and then there's a prophetic breath. Both are important. It must be found in the local church. But you see, the major strength of a local church is doctrine. That means when you see somebody where they gather people and all they do is to try to prophesy to them, to meet their needs, to lay their hands on them and all that, and there is no teaching of the word of God, there is no correct, accurate doctrine of scriptures, people can never grow there. They can't grow. You may be blessed. Thank you. You may be blessed. Listen, being blessed in a meeting is different from growing. Being blessed by a minister is different from a minister who is sent to grow you. Are you getting me? They are not the same thing. Hallelujah. Praise God forevermore. All right, back to Galatians 3. It is Bible study, and thank God it is raining. Amen. Aren't you glad it's raining? Praise God. All right, where did we stop? This is where we stop, right? He said that do it by the hearing of faith. Next verse. Even as Abraham believed God. So he's talking about the hearing of faith, and he brought in Father Abraham. I told you about the two figures in the Old Testament that reflect the ministry of Jesus. One, Father Abraham. Two, King David. You remember, as Abraham is referred to as father, David is referred to as king. That means the revelation of what Abraham saw will bring you, what Abraham found will bring you into the fatherhood of God. Amen. And the revelation of what David described, what he saw. The Bible said David described the blessedness of a man unto whom God will not impute sin. The full revelation of that will bring you into kingly dominion. And that's what he's saying. Glory to God. Did you get that? So he brings in Abraham. He said, even as Abraham believed God and it was accounted. Now, that term accounted is very important to note. It was accounted to him for righteousness. Accounted is actually an accounting term. It means to credit. So he believed God and he got an alert. When you open it, it was righteousness. Masuna balaya. Did you get that? He was credited to him for righteousness. His faith was credited to him for righteousness. Next verse. Verse 7. He said, know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. We are the children of Abraham. Why? Because we have faith. Oh, a lot to say there. Go to verse 8. End the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith. Higher. Preached before the gospel unto Abraham. That means Abraham was the first to hear the gospel. Actually, Eve and Adam were the first to hear the gospel. When they heard God say, the seed of the woman shall bruise the head of the serpent. That was the gospel being preached. Because that was God introducing the Christos. Amen. The moment that was it, that was a message. He said, you shall bruise his heel, but the seed of the woman shall bruise your head. Now, the term bruise the head is not they hit somebody's head and they are bruises. No way. The term bruise the head means total annihilation. Meaning the seed of the woman shall end your reign. The seed of the woman shall bring to an end your dominion and your lordship. That's what they say. From that moment too, the spirit of the Antichrist was released to locate the seed of the woman. That means every attempt you saw at the infiltration of the human race, why do you have fallen angels trying to sleep with the daughters of men to produce abnormal human beings? It was an attempt to corrupt the human race so that there will be no seed of the woman. There will be no pure seed. And when Satan sees that, look, this is where God's eyes are. When he raised Noah and his children, he showed up. When he saw that he called Abraham and gave him a word of prophecy and gave him a word of promise, Satan came and shot the womb of his wife. Why do you think that the patriarchs had challenge with giving birth? Abraham, Isaac, Rebecca had to cry, Isaac had to pray, Jacob. It was an attempt to block the sea. Are you listening? And when he sees that he can't kill. Wait, you think all the wars against David was because they hated him? No. When they saw that God raised David, took him out of the offering the ewes and the sheep, and made him a captain over his people, they saw that, look, he's coming from here. And he gave him a covenant. The Bible calls the covenant of salt. He gave him a covenant. Satan knew. He's the one. Let's kill him. Arranging everything. How could your mentor become your tormentor? Saul was David's mentor. Glory to God. You think that was ordinary? No, when you read the response of Saul, you know an influence comes upon him. He said, oh, is that David my servant? Thou art more righteous than me. I am so sorry, I'm trying to kill you. The next day, you want to kill him. Is that normal? That's the spirit of the Antichrist attempting to destroy the seed of the woman. And then Solo came. Satan looked at him, said, this, I would not need to kill him. Give him women. He looks like a ladies' man. And for some of you young people, when you have too much of attention from the opposite sex and they are pressing your life, is not, it does not increase your GPO. Go and cry. Declare 3 days fasting and prayer. You are feeling like a fine boy, all the girls around you. And then you are feeling, it's not something to celebrate. Amen. It's not the ladies' fault. Something is moving them. Glory to God. It's not the young men's fault. Something. I'm serious. Though, you may be laughing. I'm very serious. You know, there are people that just feel, look, they just have a special call. They are the finest people in around. Not so, sir. There's something deeper. There's something deeper. Amen. There's something deeper. Go and cry for your life. I tell you the story of your mom. I say, God have you, Lord. God damn you, Lord. No, if you're not around, you don't know what I'm talking about. He said, God damn you, Lord. His leg was there. His hands. Praise God. Is somebody with me? and then I'll stop at Solomon, and then we'll go back to what we're talking about. You see, that was Satan's attempt. If you notice, Solomon's heart was carried away because of the foreign women he got involved with. Hope you know, Jesus did not come to Solomon. I've taught you before, he didn't come to Solomon. He came to Nathan. Nathan was a sibling of Solomon. He was a son of David. Amen. When you trace the genealogy of Jesus through Mary, it is to Nathan, not to Solomon. Are you listening? So again, Satan got distracted. God played him. In every generation. And then when Jesus showed up, he played him again. When he was done with that, that was the last card. There was no way. He said, had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. They didn't know that the victory was in the death. I mean, they were lost completely. He played it. Oh, glory to God. To the all-wise God. Be glory and praise forever. Glory, 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 glory. Hallelujah. Ah, are you blessed tonight? So, God preached the gospel to Abraham. This was the time. I don't have to. Are you serious? I'm out of time. I'm out of time. Amen. Rise to your feet. You don't like it. It's raining. You want some more? You really want some more? It's 7:30 already. Yeah, should we break bread? Okay, let me just get us somewhere. Then we'll break bread. Praise God. Where do we stop? Where do we stop? Where do we stop? We're in Galatians 2, right? Hi. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Just speak in tongues where you are. Rovila si madole kosama. Man toko berusiste, ronda kizaste. Indola valoso na gabay. Eya lo se manana na marigo suda gabay. Mila lo zamane lo gaso badabay. Speak in tongues. Rabalelo la suna manane. Zominalo sojde paranele de de de. Semialo yelalo semanina nelalo. Sujo faramanina los. Diroso shemana na 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 na. Verse 7, Galatians 3. Oya la badigo sonani. All right. He says, I'm the scripture foreseen that God would justify the hidden through faith. Set a pattern. Preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all the nations be blessed. That means when we break it down, the nations being blessed was Christ coming to open the way of life to the Gentiles. Are we together? To open the way of salvation to the Gentiles. Because the singular fact that God chose the Jews was already a condemnation of the Gentiles. Are we together? So that's what he said. Next verse. So then, they which are of faith, oh my goodness, are blessed. Blessed with faithful Abraham. No, imagine thinking like this, meditating on this, waking up in the morning and saying, I'm blessed with faithful Abraham. I'm blessed with faithful Abraham. It's in the Bible. When we say Abraham's blessings are ours, all the blessing of Abraham has come upon us. You can see there. He said, they which are of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. That means we are connected to Abraham. We are connected to the covenant that God made with him because we have faith. Glory to God. Next verse. Hi. For as many as are the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all the things which are written in the book of the law to do them. Amen. That means there's a curse of the law. especially upon the Gentiles. What we had, or what the Gentiles had, was the condemnation of the law. Like I said, that God chose the Jews was a condemnation of the Gentile nations. Amen. Next verse. Five. But that no one is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident. It is evident. No man can be justified by the works of the law. It is evident. The just shall live by faith. Next verse. And the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. Next verse. Christ that redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, as it is written, curses every man that hangeth on the tree. Next verse. That the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles through faith. Amen. Through Jesus Christ, that we may receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Amen. That's part of that blessing, the promise of the Spirit. I'll go to a comfortable place and I will stop. Next verse. He said, brethren, I speak after the manner of men. Though it be but a man's covenant, yet if it be confirmed, no man disannulleth or addeth thereunto. Next verse. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. This is where I want to stop. To Abraham and his seed, singular, were the promises made. He said not to seeds as of many, but as of one, to thy seed. And who is that creed? Who is that seed? Christ. 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 That means the whole program was about Christ. Are you getting it? The whole program was about Christ. And the revelation of that Christ is the impartation of righteousness. The revelation of the Christ is the release of power. Are we together? Christ is not the only thing in the scripture, but Christ is the core of scripture. That means there are other things you can get from scripture that will benefit you. But the saving power, the dominating power of the gospel is unveiled only through the revelation of Christ. Only. 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 Praise God. Rise to your feet. Let's break bread. Let's have those who serve the communion. Speak in tongues. Soria bora delege sonane yaragabai. Oya baya ragabai yaradidi. Oya ragabai degibu.
First Corinthians 11. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take it. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. And after the same manner also, he took the cup. And when he had supped, saying, "This cup is the new testament in my blood. This do ye as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he comes." And some people have said we should not take communion anymore. That is a shadow, the substance is Christ. They don't know what they are saying. Amen. And they don't know what they are saying. You are not wiser than God. Oh no, you are not. In fact, it's like saying we should not read this Bible anymore. It is the shadow now, the substance is Christ. Let all of us wait in our room for Christ to be appearing to us and talking to us. Nonsense talk. It's the written word. But as you have fellowship with this written word, you encounter the living word. It is a physical activity that you were told to do. Paul told Timothy, he said, "Until I come, give attention to reading." If he said, "Eat till I come," we keep eating till he comes. Don't bring revelation to stand new. You know what I'm talking about. Amen. No, we can as well throw away the Bible now. This is not Christ. This is not Christ. Don't read it. Father, we thank you. I want you to have an overriding expectation and a desire in your heart as we partake of this communion. Father, we thank you. Precious Jesus, thank you for your body broken. Thank you for your blood poured out. We are so blessed. Indeed, we confess boldly that Christ is our Passover and has been sacrificed for us. We declare Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. That means evil has passed over us and our family. In the name of Jesus, destruction has passed over us and our family. In the name of Jesus, sickness has passed over us and our families. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Toko Brakatan. You can go ahead and take the communion and speak words of life. In 2 minutes, Kami, speak words over Dr. Mike Murdock. Amen. He has blessed us immensely. He has blessed me immensely. We're going to pray that supernatural intervention, the Lord take control. We speak healing. We speak restoration of health in the name of Jesus. Whatever it is, the Spirit of God knows beyond our minds. We're praying for Dr. Mike Murdock, that the hand of the Lord is upon him. In the name of Jesus, the hand of the Lord is upon him. The hand of the Lord is upon him. The hand of the Lord is upon him. Wherever he is right now, Lord, we pray for Dr. Murdock. Japetoka protaki suletike boska. Jetaka protaka patosuletaka prakaposa. Lord, your mercy, your great mercy, let it prevail over him. Your great mercy. Let it prevail over him, your great mercy. Your great mercy. Raki pato seleke pata. Jepeto ko brektos kilagira zapanas. Jovra patos kilakondrektike paskata. Hele debosa. Lord, the sure mercies of David. Let it speak for the Tomudok. The sure mercies of David. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Individually, please take our time to pray for Southern Kaduna. And on Friday, we'll raise an altar. Amen. As a people together, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. If you're giving your tithe, just rush forward very quickly. God bless you. The rest of your package, your offerings, keep standing.
We believe the Word of God has begun a good work in you, making you a living, working wonder on the earth. For additional messages and information, log on to www.theembassyofheaven.org. God bless you.